Well, good morning, and as Brother Mike said, welcome to Daylight Savings Time. Well, I found out just what seems like about 5 minutes ago to me that I was supposed to take Dwight's place, and I really didn't have anything prepared. So this will be interesting, to say the least. I did have a nursing home service this morning, and so I just called and changed that. Dwight said he felt fine yesterday, but he sounded sort of like a frog this morning. And, you know, I can't, whenever I have to bring a Bible lesson or a sermon or whatever, I have tried from time to time to, you know, I might be studying on something and have a somewhat of a message prepared for a prison service. And it may be about the same time that you have a service in church. But I've learned that the people at Calvary Memorial Church are a different audience than the prisoners. You can't give the same Bible lesson to an audience at Calvary Memorial Church than you can at a prison, or vice versa. I've tried it and it doesn't work. And the same with a nursing home. A lot of times at a nursing home, you just talk to the... sometimes they can't really handle a full sermon. You just talk to them about the Lord and about the things of the Lord. But hopefully this morning we'll consider some things from the Word of God that will be a benefit not only to you but to me as well. And Friday night at prayer meeting, we were thinking about some things, and a subject that came up was the title, the name of our church, which is Calvary Memorial Church. And what that should mean to each one of us who calls this our home church is that our individual lives should be a memorial to Calvary. I mean, that's what we claim. We claim to be members of Calvary Memorial Church. So isn't it true that our lives, our very lives, should be a memorial to Calvary? But what was Calvary about? Calvary was a place of suffering. Calvary was a place of death. Calvary was a place of sacrifice. So, is it true, is it in fact that our lives are a memorial to Calvary? You know, many times, I know it's true with me and I know it's true with you, we just seem to fall so short. We seem to fail in so many ways. I mean, you think about it. Does your life reflect a memorial to Calvary? Well, hopefully sometimes it does, and regrettably sometimes it doesn't. In the Proverbs it says, a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. You know, those who are just, a just man, those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, they will fall. A just man will fall seven times, the Bible says, and rise up again. And throughout the Bible record, we see that to be true with the people of God. People like Abraham, who, when he went down into Egypt, he lied. People like David, people like the Apostle Peter. So throughout the Bible record, we see that it is true that a just man falleth seven times, but he rises up again. It's like Wednesday night we were considering the question that the Lord Jesus posed to his disciples. Will ye also go away? Many, many did. In fact, we looked into John chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus was talking about drinking his blood, eating his flesh. And what he was really talking about was death to ourselves and letting his life become our life. And the Bible says that many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, that's a hard saying. And many of them turned and walked no more with the Lord Jesus. And he asked his disciples, will you also go away? And the Apostle Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's why a just man who falls seven times, he rises up again. Because he realizes there's nowhere else to go. To whom shall we go? The Lord Jesus Christ has the words to eternal life. But the name of our church is Calvary Memorial Church. And the life of every believer who claims this to be their church, their life should be a memorial to Calvary. But you know, no one drove by this property up on Bennett Street. No one drove by this property. And suddenly, one day, everything was in place. You had the beautiful grounds and beautiful buildings. It didn't happen like that. It took a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice for Calvary Memorial Church and Calvary Christian School to be what it is today. And as someone who says, I'm a member of Calvary Memorial Church, for your life to be a memorial to Calvary, it doesn't happen suddenly just one day. It happens by a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. Calvary was not a pleasant setting. It was a place of suffering. It was a place of sacrifice. It was a place where the Son of God said, not my will, but thine be done. So this morning, I want us to take a few moments to look at a few scriptures. That will hopefully show us what is required of us to please God. To please Him, because our lives will indeed be a memorial to Calvary. a verse that I'm sure you're familiar with, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." The word "if," it's a big word in that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. The secret there is to be in Christ, to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be abiding in Him and He in us. If that's true, if that's true in our lives, then not some things, but all things are become new, and the old things, what our lives were about, are passed away. To please God, there's another verse in Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has ordained this of those who are in Christ. That's what He has ordained for your life, for my life. He's ordained that we should walk in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is His workmanship. In the Bible Institute, over the whole past year, we've been studying the tabernacle and the workmanship of the tabernacle. It's a fascinating study. Fascinating. Remarkable. And we've really been getting into the detail of it. And the priests were ordained to work in this tabernacle. And that's what Ephesians is telling us in chapter 2 and verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand." You know, for your life to be a memorial to Calvary, for my life to be a memorial to Calvary, that's our profession, isn't it? We profess to be a part of Calvary Memorial Church. Well, indeed, for our lives to be a memorial to Calvary. We can't be always in pursuit of the things that are in this world. The Bible says, seek those things which are above. And the only way we can do that is if we're risen with Christ. If we're seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." You know, that should be a very convicting verse. Because for our lives to truly measure up to that verse, I think every one of us would profess that there needs to be some change in our life in some areas. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Ezekiel in chapter 36, it talks there about how God makes it possible. How God makes it possible for our lives indeed to be a memorial to Calvary. He does it by, first of all, creating a new, making us new creations, as we looked in 2 Corinthians. He makes us new creations in Christ, and the old things are passed away and all things become new. He makes it possible because we are His workmanship. It's God who worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And in Ezekiel 36, and by the way, I'm just going to be quoting quite a few scriptures here. You may want to jot them down, or you may, I'm not going to ask you to turn to each and every one of them. But in Ezekiel 36, in verse 26, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." You see, for any life to be a memorial to Calvary, God has to do a work in the heart. He has to take away that stony heart, that heart within man that's bent towards sin, towards self. He has to take that heart away. And through His workmanship, He puts a new heart and a new spirit. So, for God to make it possible for all these things to happen, that our lives might be a memorial to Calvary, that's what takes place. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." How is it that that divine nature, through His workmanship, becomes evident in our lives? How is it? Well, one way, Peter said, it's through the promises. Not only just promises, great promises, exceeding great promises and precious promises. It's by these, he says, that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Not many of us have a problem when it comes to our physical food. We like to enjoy a good meal, and sometimes multiple times in a day. We enjoy that. But the Lord is telling us that in order to be a partaker of this divine nature, we have to come and partake of the bread from heaven, the spiritual food, daily, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That requires sacrifice. Brother Mike read in his text this morning before Sunday school about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It requires faithful church attendance. It requires faithfulness in our personal devotion when it comes to partaking of these divine, exceeding precious promises. for your life, for my life, to be a memorial to Calvary, we have to abide in the Lord Jesus. He said in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The branch can't bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I wonder how often in life, from day to day, we go forth and try to do things in the power and the energy of ourselves. No doubt we do that. No doubt we do it often. But that doesn't change the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And yet sometimes we think we can do things. But he says, no. He says, it's just like a vine and a branch. If that branch is not abiding in the vine, it's not going to bring forth fruit. It's not going to have the life. The life comes from the vine, and the Lord Jesus is the true vine. A branch can't bear fruit. And he's saying that without me, I can do nothing, you can do nothing. Because we have to abide in him. We can do things that have no eternal consequence to them. We can do things that have no eternal value to them. But he's talking about things that will last forever, things that count forever. Without me, you can do nothing. So the point being is that the power to live a life that pleases God every day, a life that bears fruit, a life that is a memorial to Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gives us the power to do that. He is the true vine. And every branch that is abiding in him and bearing fruit, he purges it. He purges it so that it can bring forth more fruit. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it's pleasing to the Lord when our knowledge of him increases. When we're fruitful into every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to be careful of finding ourselves to be content on dwelling upon past victories in our life, past experiences, past knowledge. God says that our knowledge of him should be increasing. We should be growing in Christ. We should be being fruitful unto every good work. And it's only the Lord that can make this possible. It's only the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 states that, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Peter also said, we quoted a while ago from 2 Peter chapter 1, and we quoted verse 4. But in verse 3 of that text, the Bible says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then he goes on to say, giving all diligence. Diligence. You know, that's something that we need more of. Because it's the tendency of our nature to just sort of put everything in cruise and just sort of coast along. But the Bible says that we need to give diligence. We need to understand that living the Christian life requires diligence. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. The Christian life requires diligence. It requires diligence in being faithful to the house of God. It requires diligence in being faithful to study His Word, to come in a diligent way to these exceeding great and precious promises that can make us to be partakers of the divine nature. That requires diligence. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, and we're not, but our sufficiency is of God. There's no sufficiency in ourselves. We have to diligently seek our sufficiency to be of God. But God does have a plan, a purpose. He has a plan for changing us to be what we are by nature, to be and what we can be for Him. For our lives to be a memorial to Calvary. One thing He requires, He requires that you actively, like the Apostle Paul, who said, I die daily. I die daily. Well, that's what it's going to take in your life and mine. If your life is going to be a memorial to Calvary, that's what it's all about. Calvary is about death. Paul said, I die daily. And that's what it's going to require. To put to death the evil deeds of the body. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All those things, all those corruptible things are in the heart of man. They're in your heart. They're in my heart. And the Lord is saying, if your life is going to be a memorial to Calvary, you're going to have to mortify. You're going to have to mortify your members which are upon the earth. You're going to have to put to death those evil deeds of the body. That's something that doesn't happen just automatically. No more than one day someone just drove by Bennett Street and automatically out of nowhere was all this Calvary Memorial Church. It didn't happen like that. It took a lot of sacrifice. It took a lot of suffering. It took a lot of denial for Calvary Memorial Church to be what it is today. And that's what it will take in our lives if our lives indeed are a memorial to Calvary. It takes sacrifice. It takes putting to death the evil deeds of the body. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin is always enticing. It's ever present in this fallen world. And we live in this fallen world with fallen natures. We haven't attained to sinless perfection. We have an old man. We have an old nature that has to be crucified. It has to be put to death. And the Lord says that that's something that you do. Mortify, therefore, your members. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. So, God's plan for our lives is to make a memorial to Calvary out of our lives. That's His plan. That's His purpose. That's His only plan. That's His only purpose. And He does it through a willingness upon our part to be used of Him. He does it upon the promises of His Word. He also does it by the power of His Holy Spirit. We don't have the strength within ourselves. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He can do that through His Spirit. We can live by the power of His Holy Spirit. That's what Romans chapter 8 tells us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have to walk after the Spirit. We have to yield ourselves to God, to His Spirit, to allow the power of His Spirit to accomplish His will in our lives. We can walk after the flesh. We can walk after the Spirit. And the Bible says that They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, life can somehow seem to become complicated for us. But life is to be successful, to do what the Lord calls us to do. It can be a pretty simple process. I was telling someone recently that, Friday night at prayer meeting, we were talking about how God has called people from everywhere to this church. It's amazing. And I was recalling in my own life, I had never been to Southern Pines. I was living out in Dallas, Texas. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to come here. I'd been listening to some sermons by Pastor Kelly. And I decided that the Lord wanted me to come here. And I packed everything that I owned, which was not much, into the back of a little U-Haul, rented a U-Haul, and set out from Dallas, Texas to Southern Pines. And you talk about being called to a work, to a church. When I came in on US 1 to Southern Pines, I came up US 1 to where it says to go into Southern Pines. And I stopped at a service station and I asked, "Can you tell me where Calvary Memorial Church is?" It was on a Saturday afternoon. And the man told me, "Yeah, you just go right on down here and over, take this turn, and right there it is." So it was on a Saturday, and I pulled in here. And that's how the Lord called me to this church. And I'm sure your testimony is just as significant, the way the Lord has called you. I also remember in those days how simple things seemed to be. It seems like life gets more complex as time goes by. But life was so simple for me in those days. As far as I could tell, I just had four responsibilities. I just had four things I had to do each week. And that was all. I had to come to church Sunday morning. That was not difficult. That was one of my responsibilities. I came to church Sunday night. I came to church Wednesday night. And I went to prayer meeting. And it seemed like that was the only responsibility I had on my shoulder in the whole world. That was it. And I had a lot of time on my hands. And I began to listen to Pastor Kelly's sermons, which was the thing that got me here in the first place. In Dallas, Dallas was a strange place. It seems like there was a church on every corner. And back in the late 70s, there was Christian radio, Christian television. It was a confusing place. And I was just church hopping from church to church. But when I got here, I started listening to Pastor Kelly's sermons. And especially when I found out that you could borrow the cassette tapes and just listen to it and bring it back. That's when I really started listening to them, because I was buying them. But then someone told me, just listen to them. And I listened to years and years of preaching. I went through his whole Proverbs series. I went through his whole Matthew series, through his whole Revelation series. All I had was four responsibilities throughout the week. Just to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and go to prayer meeting. That's all I had to do. So I had a lot of... But it just seems like it's a new day. And it's a new time.
Jim, we also discussed the will of God, too. Remember, tell everybody how you came to believe in the will of God.
Well, yeah, we were, Friday night, we had a pretty good time, and we were talking about a lot of subjects, and one of them was the will of God. And I was just relating an experience, a very real experience in my own life. And I'm sure there are times when each one of us, we become burdened over knowing God's will. We become troubled. We sort of maybe come to a crossroads or a decision, an important decision. And that was true in my life years ago. And I just had this unusual burden to know God's will. And I didn't know what to do except just pray and ask God to show me what His will was. And then I thought, well, I'll do a study of the Word of God on the will of God. And so I looked up every passage in the Bible, every one of them that had anything to do with God's will. And I learned a lot about God's will when I was doing this study. And I was particularly burdened about God's will. I learned, for example, that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. But the verse that really sort of was the nail in the coffin was the verse that says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And I thought, well, yes, Lord, I know that's your will for my life. But you see, Lord, what I want to know is this thing. I want to know your will about this thing. Well, I continued to study, and it just seems like I kept coming back to that. For in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so finally, I just submitted to that. I said, well, Lord, if that's your will, then I'm going to start giving thanks for everything. And you know something? I found out that was His will. That was His will for my life. And whatever the little thing is that was so troubling to me, it just sort of faded away. Because I had found God's will for my life. And that is His will. This is the will of God, is to give thanks in everything. So, you know, we have to train ourselves towards godliness. It doesn't happen just naturally. It's something that we have to work at and train at. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." It's an exercise. It's something that we have to train at. In 1 Timothy also it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness." It's something that requires training. And it also requires forgetting some things. Forgetting some things. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended also of Christ Jesus." And then Paul said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, we need to forget the things that are behind, because if we focus upon those things, if we become boggled down with always regretting, always fretting about the things that are behind us, that will interfere with us reaching forth unto those things which are before us. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before us, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Again, it's through the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through these exceeding great and precious promises that He's given to us that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Well, I'm amazed that our time has run out. But let me just say, in summary, that this is something we should think about as we were thinking about it and discussing it Friday night. Our lives should be a memorial to Calvary. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what this church is about. That's why the church has the title, Calvary Memorial Church. Calvary Memorial, a memorial to Calvary. Well, then, why shouldn't the life of each and every member here also, why shouldn't their lives also be a memorial to Calvary? But just remember what Calvary was about. Calvary is about death. Death to self. Putting self to death. Not my will, but thine be done. It's about sacrifice. It's about suffering. So let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this Lord's Day. What a blessing it is to be able to gather together in thy house. And Father, we do pray for Mr. Creech today. We pray that you'll help him to feel better. We do pray for the service that will follow, that you'll bless mightily in it. We know, Lord, that often when we gather, there are those who come into this place lost. And how we pray for the salvation of anyone who may come here today lost. And we especially pray for the saints of God. We pray for the building up of the saints of God. And Father, we do pray that you'll help each and every one of us to reflect upon our lives and to question, do our lives indeed reflect that we are a memorial to Calvary. And we thank you and we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.